WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Israel and Hamas have agreed to a pause in fighting and a hostage-prisoner exchange. Celebrations in southern Gaza abound over that newly agreed-to peace plan from President Trump. Omar Awadalla is Assistant Manager of Foreign Affairs in the West Bank.
We're thinking that this is the right step toward the right direction. So we believe it is important now to stop immediately the war in Gaza.
Israelis like this woman in Tel Aviv are hopeful.
It's such a good feeling, and I really hope it will happen. I mean, until it will not happen, it will not happen. But we are very excited.
Reporter Linda Gradstein from Jerusalem.
Once Israel signs the deal, Hamas has agreed to free all remaining 48 hostages, both alive and dead, within 72 hours.
If all goes as planned, President Trump says he'll consider a visit to the Middle East this weekend. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 97.5 WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The primary elections are about 10 months away, and fundraising is already underway. Joanne Krulatz reports on Republican gubernatorial fundraising.
A fundraising milestone in the race for Wisconsin's next governor. As originally reported by Spectrum News Wisconsin, the campaign of Republican 7th District Congressman Tom Tiffany announced Monday that it's raised $1 million, less than 2 weeks after officially launching. In a statement, Tiffany said Democrats are propped up by Hollywood millionaires and coastal elites, while his campaign is building a grassroots movement in the state. The campaign of Republican candidate Washington County Executive Josh Shulman had raised just over $425,000 between entering the race in May and the July campaign finance report to the State Ethics Commission. The next campaign finance filing deadline with the commission is on January 15th.
A bridge built in the 1930s to get across the Mississippi River is closing this month and being demolished. Jimmy Cuska has the story.
The bridge connecting Wisconsin to Iowa south of La Crosse will close permanently on October 20th. The Black Hawk Bridge, also known as the Lansing Bridge, is in the process of being replaced. The bridge, which was built 94 years ago, has been closed twice in the past 2 years for structural issues. Construction on its replacement began 2 years ago and is scheduled to open in 2027. In the meantime, the DOT will be providing free car ferries to cross the Mississippi River, while heavier truck traffic will need to use the posted detour through Prairie du Chien a half hour south.
The Nakusa High School Student Council is hosting a blood drive next week. It'll be Wednesday, October 15th from 1 to 6 p.m. You can call 1-800-RED-CROSS to make an appointment. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high right around 65 this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy in the evening. Could catch a shower or an isolated thunder shower late tonight. Our low 48 tomorrow, becoming partly cloudy with a high in the mid-60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Currently, it's 42.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day.
Sometimes I'm right, and I can be wrong. My own beliefs are in my song. Picture, a maker, a drummer, and then makes no difference what group I'm in. I am everyday people.
Let's get it going. Time to start the show. Welcome to the morning show here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, locally grown radio. Got your host, James, joined by one of our head producers around these parts. Our head producer here at WFHR, that's for darn sure. I'm used to doing the number two, sorry there. Laura's with us.
Hi.
Laura.
Yes, I am the head of production at WFHR.
We welcome the best listeners in radio. Thanks so much for being here, everybody. We're going to have some fun this morning. We got coming up some tipping questions. We're going to get into how we feel about tipping. That is coming up in a little bit. Mm-hmm. Tying into that, how many of us have worked in retail?
Yeah.
We're going to get those two conversations going together. We've also got coming up a little bit later, Hershey's winning a lawsuit that is kind of interesting. We got to get into that. Mm-hmm. 10 o'clock hour, going to kick off with our good friend Denise in the Pet of the Week with the Southwick County Humane Society.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that. A little bit of entertainment news for you in there. Going to talk some Dolly Parton. Going to talk a little bit of TV news and let you know what is coming up for you in your email box a little bit later today. WFHR newsletter. We're going to talk about that.
Yeah, that.
We're also going to get into a nutritionist telling you what you should order from McDonald's.
Okay, listen, I'm going to McDonald's.
Yeah, I mean,
anyway, we'll get there.
That should be interesting. But we kick things off, Laura, with this place. And we're going to get into this this topic a bit as we go along throughout October. It is spooky season.
It is
indeed. We get into haunted topics and subjects. Next week, you and I got a good one for us about the most haunted states or the states that see the most ghosts.
Oh, that's fantastic.
We'll be getting into that next.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, we're going to have some fun with that one, you and I, next week. Mm-hmm. But for now, if you had an old haunted hotel and you needed a brave soul to investigate, who are you gonna call?
Ghostbusters. I
mean, well, that's what I tried, but it turns out they're not in business anymore.
Oh.
Like you get a busy signal.
Wow.
It doesn't work anymore. So I thought,
and that didn't even make the news.
I'm surprised by that. The oldest and possibly most haunted hotel in Las Vegas, the El Cortez Hotel and Casino, is offering to pay someone $5,000 to spend a weekend ghost hunting inside. And it kind of sounds kind of cool to me.
It sounds really cool to me, and I feel like there's definitely a podcaster that's going to take him up on this, right?
A good friend of mine, Vince, and his wife, Jessica, they go around throughout Illinois doing this. Mm-hmm. And I've been tempted to go with them before. I've thought about doing something like this. Mm-hmm. And I don't consider myself a skeptic. I'm more just very on the fence on these things. So I think I might be a good person to do something like this. And I don't know. There's something about it. Like, I kind of want to put myself in situations to run into this because I haven't, and I feel like I feel like I'm missing something almost. But would you like right out the gate? Would you do would do something? Because this is part of the reason I brought it up.
100%. I would definitely do that, but I would definitely like to do it with someone who has experience because I have not actually truly gone ghost hunting proper. If that is going to be a career field, I cannot say that I have done it, right?
Is that an EKG machine or whatever you got to have?
There's a thousand things they have with bells and whistles and all kinds of sirens and stuff. Things that flash. I don't know. They have lots of things.
KMF. No, that was a band.
I don't know. No,
you walk around with KMF and it's going to be really loud and they play house music. So.
No, you're thinking KMFDM.
Yes. Now, that's another band. That's a whole different band.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway.
KDM had a hit in the 90s. They were another band. But yes, KDM, KDFDM, that another band. The whole
so
other
many
thing.
Letters.
So
yes,
many.
I would go ghost hunting in Las Vegas if I had a friend who knew how to ghost hunt that wanted to go with me.
Maybe this might help.
I'll call Quinn's uncle.
Maybe this might help a little bit. They'll equip you with ghost hunting gear and EMF meters, EVP recorders, and flashlights and thermal sensors. Then you'll set you free to explore the eeriest corners, searching for signs of ghostly activity, especially at night. "Quote unquote, especially at night."
Well, yeah, of course.
You're supposed to document your experience with photos and short videos. Keep a journal of what you encounter, which can include scary, mysterious, or even funny moments.
I'm telling you, a podcaster is going to scoop this up.
If you're interested, you can fill out an application at casino.org.
Okay, it is Las Vegas. It's Las Vegas.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. But I can't believe that website was open. Like, how did they get casino.org?
I bet Las Vegas had that bad boy in stock in like 1982 before the internet was born.
Yeah. That's crazy. That's almost wilder than the story itself.
I love that.
They had
that's
that
awesome.
They're accepting volunteers all month. Now, I did read a little bit just currently while you're talking there, and I don't know if they'll take podcasters. I don't know if they'll take individuals like that. They may be looking for more, just as they say, volunteers. They're kind of looking for something like that.
Well, there are genuine, like, they're saying they're not going to pay them to do it. Like, this is not a thing like that. But I think that if a podcaster, like a genuine, because there are a lot of like genuine ghost hunters that have podcasts. That's what I mean by a podcaster. I don't mean just some influencer.
I know what you meant.
Someone who who does have experience doing these things, would be interested in doing this, would already be documenting it, you know?
That's why I think it looks like they're looking for somebody without experience.
Oh, well, it seems like. That makes a difference.
They'll announce one winner 5 days later, and that's when you'll start planning your trip, which will need to happen within the next month.
Oh.
The $5,000 prize includes $800 towards airfare and travel and $500 to cover food, drinks, and ghost hunting equipment.
I'm going to look up how much a ticket costs to Las Vegas.
I mean, this seems really like this would be great. If you won this, oh, man, the content we could create out of something like that.
Listen, oh, thank you, Google machine, for spying on me. That was the first thing that popped up. All I typed was airfare.
Ooh, wow.
To Las Vegas.
I really don't like that. I'm really uncomfortable with that.
I didn't love it.
I don't know about that.
That's about $200 for one person. Right. And that's without, you know, luggage or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. That's not so bad.
That's reasonable.
Yeah, yeah. Man, I would do this in a heartbeat, though. I also think, I think it'd be interesting, too, if they do this and there's not really anything that happens. I think that you can make material out of this.
Yeah, that's the thing about ghost hunting is... No matter how haunted the place is, you can't guarantee you're going to see anything that night. Everything's at a whim. Like, if the ghosts are real, they have whims of their own, you know? That's just what it is.
When you look for the best ghost hunting states to go ghost hunting in, Texas, California, New Jersey, and Nevada are the top locations.
Sure.
So Nevada, you got Las Vegas right there.
Yeah, Nevada's right there. Well, I mean, I guess the West would have a lot going on. That said, I also really, I mean, a dark horse, I guess, that's not in there, it'd be Nashville.
I didn't see you go, okay, I thought you were going a different route. Yeah.
Nashville is an incredibly spiritually active place, from my understanding. And I have family there, friends there that I know well and have had lots of experiences in the area. And it's just a really beautiful place.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
I'm a big fan.
It's top three places I want to go. Tennessee.
It's beautiful.
It's one of those top places. That's a really good point by there. I would have thought much more out east where it's the older parts
like
of our
DC.
Country and stuff and everything.
Yeah. I mean, that's fair, but also... all of our country is old. It's been inhabited for a long time.
Oh, certainly. There were people here long before there were pilgrims here.
And I'm just thinking about the type of traumatic things that happened out west during westward expansion. And that's kind of what I was thinking of.
Popular destinations for ghost hunting and tours include Savannah, Georgia, St. Augustine, Florida, Louisville, Kentucky, the Waverly Hill Sanatorium in Philadelphia, and home to Eastern State Penitentiary in Williamsburg, Virginia.
Yeah, shout out Philly on that one.
Philly is going to probably have some stuff. Yeah, yeah. I'm curious if anybody out there is listening, is into this, has done this, or has ever thought about ghost hunting or anything like that.
We want to hear your stories. That'd be cool as heck.
And I would love to really hear from ghosts. I'd like to hear from ghosts how they feel about this.
James.
I just want to know their side of it.
Our microphones don't work.
It's what we do around here. We cover both sides. We are bipartisan. So let's
I'll
hear from both sides. Thank you. Thank you for being a good teammate and just try to...
Anytime.
Thank you for putting up with me, actually. I don't know where I was going with that. I don't know what to... when it comes to the most haunted places in America, those I gave you your list there of those, I'm curious if in Wisconsin, if there's anything in particular or anybody out there has heard stories. I know that the Pfister... Oh, yeah. But the Pfister in Milwaukee is one of the places I've heard the most, to the point where, like, there's a lot of, like, especially in the NBA, you find this. You'll hear of an NBA player that demands to stay there because of this. Like, hey, you got a game to play. Oh, I'm ghost hunting.
Right.
But then you have even more, especially like baseball players and everything that are very superstitious and they will not stay in that hotel.
I've stayed at a haunted lighthouse. The lighthouse I stayed at as a kid because my dad was in the military. We were able to rent a lighthouse that had a house attached to it for family vacations through the U.S. Coast Guard. And there's a very well-known ghost named Millie that lives out at Sherwood Point Lighthouse in Sturgeon Bay. Shout out. I love Millie. I love the lighthouse and I love Sturgeon Bay. I've never had any experiences with her, but I've stayed there a lot.
Interesting. Really interesting. I wouldn't guess lighthouses.
But absolutely lighthouses.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and there's a tragic story with Millie, you know. Mm-hmm, it's, you know, there's... That's usually how ghosts happen.
It's interesting. Yeah. It's a very interesting topic to me. I don't know. I know my Nada would be in heaven hearing about these things and stuff. She would just be loving
it's
this.
It's just so. A really fascinating thing heaven, to geez. Think about. You know, it's the great beyond, right?
Oh, she would have loved that joke. Oh, that she'd be in heaven. Well, she technically is right now. So, I mean, yeah. Experience the magic of Willie Nelson with Willie and Family Live. Seth and I were talking about this on the Sunrise Show over on our sister station, 105.5. Of course, tonight, you've got this great concert going on. Well, it was actually on this day in history that Willie Nelson broke a record with Always On My Mind. Mm-hmm. So how fitting to have Michael Moore come to town with the Willie Nelson tribute experience. This is so awesome. True immersive experience, too. It delves into the life and stories behind the Redheaded Stranger's songs. I say dress up for this one. Grab your cowboy boots, put a good hat on, and get on down there and have some fun at the Performing Arts Center tonight. It's going to be a really good show.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it tonight. I know Seth is going, right?
Yeah, Seth's
going. Yeah, you can meet Seth Habegger yourself. Shake his hand. Yes. Tell him he's a good guy. Yes. He is a good guy.
He is. Tickets are selling fast, so make sure to get them. You can give them a call at 715-424-2787, or you can stop on by 1040 A Street South, Suite 101, right here in Rapids. They're open Monday through Thursday, 10 to 2:30, and you can get them right online at SavorTheArts.com, SavorTheArts.com. We know we have a handful of listeners that are going to be going, because we've got to give away some tickets for this.
Yeah, we've given away how many? Four? Six? Yeah, something
yeah,
four like that?
Them, yeah. A big thank you to Sally for that. We wouldn't
Absolutely,
have been able to otherwise.
And congratulations to the winners. Enjoy your show.
Yeah. Shout out to Eric and our friends at the Performing Arts Center as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely.
It's going to be a good one. Go to SavorTheArts.com. Buy local, support the arts, everybody, and have a good time. We do ask if you go to the show and you feel like it, let us know how it went on
Friday. Absolutely.
Love to hear that. Love to hear how it went. Otherwise, Laura and I will be back with more show coming up with the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club here at WFHR.
Boo! Did I scare you? Probably not, but I bet your aunt's mystery casserole for the holidays is gonna scare your socks off. Why take a chance on a frightening meal this holiday? Take the fear out of the holidays with El Cafe in Port Edwards. Order your favorite items, have them delivered, and relax. The holidays can be frightful enough. Call 715-887-2213. That's 715-887-2233. Let El Cafe take the fear out of your holiday.
Actual price will depend on product and subscription plan. Featured products are compounded drug products, which the FDA does not approve or verify for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. See website for details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Want a boost in and out of the bedroom? Hims has you covered. Introducing a new 2-in-1 approach to level up your game. Tadalafil for better bedroom performance and zinc for testosterone support. Turn things all the way up and find affordable treatment options at up to 95% less than brand names at Hims.com/joy. That's Hims.com/joy.
Big Ten football returns to Madison this fall. The Wisconsin Badgers battle Iowa, Ohio State, Washington, and others to defend Camp Randall this season. From the grind of every snap to the roar of jump around, Badgers leave it all on the field. Be a part of all the tradition Wisconsin football has to offer. Single game tickets are available now at uwbadgers.com or by calling 1-800-GO-BADGERS. Together, we're Wisconsin like that.
We want to thank our listeners for following the Rapid Support over to the podcast world. Your growing support for the show and your favorite guests, area nonprofits, is greatly appreciated.
We love getting the word out about the great things nonprofits do for the community. Special thanks to Crockett Septic for sponsoring this show as they continue to help us bring you great conversations.
Listen to the Rapid Support at WFHR.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high right around 65 this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy in the evening. Could catch a shower or an isolated thunder shower late tonight. Our low 48 tomorrow, becoming partly cloudy with a high in the mid-60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 46.
Let the good times roll. Let the good times roll.
It's time for the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club. One of our favorite parts of the day, we get to celebrate you and talk about our great friends over at El Cafe. Treat yourself. Get on over to 221 Market Avenue, beautiful Port Edwards. Wish them a great day from all of us at WFHR.
Mm-hmm.
good stuff over there today, everybody. They're wishing everyone a happy Thursday. I encourage you to go over to their Facebook page, keep up to date on the things they're doing, and of course, check out their specials and all those great pies and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Big thank you to our friends at El Cafe. Buy local, support local, everybody. Get on over there today.
Yeah.
And get us those birthdays and anniversaries so we can celebrate with you. Info at WFHR.com is where you can email us. You can direct message us on our Facebook pages, and you can call on up.
715-424-1300. Well, 2600. 1300 is Pam.
Either one. Yeah, it's fine. It's fine.
I always give Pam's number during my voice tracking on the other station, so hers is the number that comes to my head first.
It works.
I'll work it out. I'm sorry, everyone.
We're covering all bases here. That's all.
I'll get better.
Encourage you to use any of those numbers. Just get on the air with us here and bring us. We love those live birthdays and anniversaries.
But the easiest way is through the Civic Media app.
You got to do so. Get it on. If you don't have it, have that downloaded, everybody. Mm-hmm. Laura, I need you to do a little work this morning. You've been working all morning, let's be honest. But I need a one or a two.
Two.
Okay. Gives us that qualifier. Boom, boom, boom. Get right into it. And first up, we want to wish Pam's cousin and wife, Denny and Michelle Eskert, a happy 49th anniversary.
Oh, okay. Happy anniversary.
They both grew up right here in Rapids. They reside now in Cape Coral, Florida.
Oh, cool. So is that Denny and Michelle?
Yeah, Denny and Michelle, we wish you a happy 49th anniversary.
Yeah, happy anniversary, Denny and Michelle.
49, that's beautiful. That's awesome.
That is beautiful.
And I've heard Cape Coral is beautiful. I heard it's a nice area over there. First up in our local list here, we want to wish a very happy birthday to Mr. Walt Morris.
Oh, happy birthday, Walt.
Walt, we hope you enjoy your day. Have a great one. Thanks so much for getting us that birthday. And our qualifier today, Kathy Cronstadt.
Happy birthday, Kathy. Congratulations.
Kathy, enjoy your day. Wishing you a great one. We always appreciate being able to celebrate all these birthdays. And Kathy, we're wishing you a very special one. Enjoy your day. We encourage you to brag to all your friends, family, strangers that you're our qualifier today. Let them all know. Animals especially.
Woo!
You deserve it, Kathy.
We're real big in the house cat crowd.
Big time. Big time.
Mm-hmm.
We look at our celebrity list. Who do you share your birthdays and anniversaries with? Country singer Megan Maroney is 28 today.
Oh, cool.
Tennessee Orange, probably her more famous song. And she shares her birthday along with a couple of other country stars. Scotty McCreery is 32 today.
Oh.
Got his star after winning the 10th season of American Idol. I didn't know that.
That is what he did. I knew that.
I didn't know. I didn't realize that. Oh.
Yeah, his was one of the seasons I actually tuned into the finale for.
Okay.
Every once in a while I did that. I also watched the one with Adam Lambert in it.
Tyler James Williams is 33. Gregory Eddy on Abbott Elementary. Noah on The Walking Dead. He was he was the star of Everybody Hates Chris.
Yeah.
I'm so happy for him that he got this role in Abbott Elementary.
Too.
It's great
to see him.
Yeah, and he has turned into such a strong, fine actor. Mm-hmm. He's good. Him and Quintina are perfect.
They're great
chemistry together. Mm-hmm. Great chemistry. Let's see here. Nick Swarsden is 49.
Oh, good.
A lot of Adam Sandler movies.
He's the blonde.
Yes, and one of his guys, of Sandler's guys. Great stand-up comedian. I think many of us might think of him
not David Spade blonde.
Yes, and thinking of him with Reno 911, Terry.
Yes, absolutely.
I think the character was
the reoccurring character. Yeah,
it's not very often.
That's kind of what Nick does. He does reoccurring characters in really good sitcoms.
Most of the main cast members on the Reno 911 had worked together for decades as a part of a comedy troupe called The State, and had great chemistry. Improv artists. They film a lot of stuff during that show live and one take outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
Would Nick Swarz? Then they would have to do multiple takes because they would be laughing too hard and they'd ruin the scene. He's just one of those guys.
He commits. It's lovely.
Sean Lennon is 50 today.
Okay.
John and Yoko's only child.
Mm-hmm.
And an incredible producer.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a great ear for things.
Yeah.
I thought Sean Lennon, Sean's great. He's got some really interesting works that he's done and everything.
Did you have high hopes? Is that where we're?
No, I thought that he was gonna. I didn't know that he'd be in the public eye at all.
I thought he was just gonna be a private dude.
Yeah, I thought Julian was gonna be a pop sensation. I thought Julian
That's
Lennon
the one
was
that
gonna
you
be,
had high hopes
yes.
for.
I thought after I heard Much Too as a little kid and I heard Much Too Late for Goodbyes, you could not convince me. I could cannot wait to tell my dad this was the next big pop star and all this.
this, and he's a Lennon, and he's your guy, and he's the son of your guy, and all that. And no, it didn't work out that way.
No, it did not.
With Sean Lennon, I didn't think we'd ever even hear from him. But he's got a pretty good social media presence. He does a lot of good work out there.
Cool.
I think that he is a... part of the reason, not only part, I want to give her 100% credit for this.
Oh, sure.
But I think he is part of the reason that we have kind of come back, come around on Yoko Ono.
Yeah.
And realized, absolutely. Oh, wait a minute, maybe we put
way too harsh on Yoko Ono.
This lady and everything. And I think her he's done a really nice job without trying to showing, oh, by the way, Yoko Ono's a human being.
Yeah, but like, who would fault him for doing that for his mom?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
By the way, I hope he is doing it on purpose for his mom. Good for him.
The combination
and happy birthday, Sean.
Of that, along with of the, you know, getting to understand more and more of the history of the Beatles, and guess what? Without all four of them, could have remained single, and they still would have broke up.
Yeah,
they were 100%. Always, they were going to do. Yep. It was always going to happen.
Yep.
Happy 50th to him. Brandi Clark is 50 as well, country singer herself. Yep. One of our guys. Steve Burns is 52.
Oh.
Original host of Blues Clues, who left the show to do some music and some things.
But Steve.
Now he's a big supporter of the remakes, and he's been very supportive of all the new hosts.
And he's been
and
like
stuff.
Featured on like the new movies and shows and stuff every once in a while. Yeah, he shows up.
But his presence, in particular during the pandemic, on social media is one of the reasons why I can't dog social media completely.
Because he's doing something really, really cool, and he's been doing it since COVID and never really stopped. Yeah. So every once in a while, Steve Burns on his social media, usually on a TikTok page, he will just set a camera up in front of himself, start recording and say, "Hey, it's been a while. How you doing?" And just sit there silently.
Yeah.
And give you time to share.
He's really
great. To vent, to whatever. And it's really, really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, he's some. He really is. I wish him nothing but the best.
I'm a big fan. He's a great guy.
And he looks that good at 52.
He looks fantastic at 52.
He's doing something right. PJ Harvey is 56.
Good.
This is Love, Down by the Water. Big PJ Harvey fan. Mm-hmm. I love PJ Harvey. Great singer, songwriter, sneaky good guitar player.
Yeah.
Big. You were a kid in the 90s, man. You probably ended up liking her. One of the greatest directors in the game today. One of the top five I would give anything to work with. Guillermo del Toro is 61 today.
Oh, cool.
Genius writer, director, producer. Shape of Water, Pan's Labyrinth, Blade 2, for God's sake. I'm just a big fan of the
Blade movies.
It's
true, he did do that.
Hellboy movies, he did the original Hellboy movies and everything as well.
Didn't he just do like a Pinocchio? Did he just do Pinocchio
and a
Frankenstein?
He's got a Frankenstein one coming out.
That's
that
what it
on
is.
The way.
He's working on it.
But that's, he's so good. And one of the fun interviews, like really, really fun interview person. Like you get a chance to hear him talk about just movies or just anything.
I suppose, getting anybody to talk about their passion is interesting stuff. Yeah,
he really is. One of my dad's favorite actors, and interestingly, one of my oldest daughter Bria's favorite actors, and one of their favorite shows. Happy birthday to Monk himself, Tony Shalhoub, is 72.
Oh, very cool.
Many of us remember him as Antonio on Wings.
Sure.
I remember as a kid watching bits and pieces of Wings because my Aunt Pat loved the show, like crazy loved the show. And I seen Tony Shalhoub and being like, oh, it's so cool that they have an Italian actor on this show and everything. Mm. How great that is. And then realizing a little bit later on, that's not Tony Shalhoub's real accent. He's just that good.
He's just talented.
And he is Italian, but that accent was just something that he created and everything. He's that good.
He's great.
Star Trek. He was also a Star Trek goof. Galaxy Quest.
He was in Galaxy Quest.
He was
very
in good
Men in
that.
Black.
Yeah, he's yes.
Briefly.
Great role in that. Great role in that one. Great actor. Sharon Osbourne is 73. Happy birthday to her. I hope she is with her kids and enjoying the day.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's got to be a bit melancholy, but
for sure.
Wishing her a good one.
Mm-hmm.
And Jackson Brown is 77.
Oh, cool.
Running on Empty, Dr. My Eyes, Somebody's Baby from Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Got to get that in there.
It's Dr. My Eyes. That's the one for me, man.
It's a good one. That's a good one. I that's one of those artists that I played a lot of my classic rock days.
Sure.
And it took a little while, but now when his songs pop up, I'm like, okay, Running on Empty is a darn good song. That's a good song. Yeah. And that is going to do it for our birthday and anniversary list, but we appreciate everybody getting us these birthdays and anniversaries.
For sure.
Big time thank you to our friends at El Cafe. Visit them today at 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. Yeah. Laura and I will be back after our news, sports, entertainment, and partner break. We're going to talk a little bit about the state of tipping and how many of us have worked in retail and some of that coming up on The Morning Show.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The Wausau Ethics Board will move forward with their investigation into a complaint against Mayor Doug Dinney. The complaint was filed in January and claimed Dinney's removal of an absentee ballot box last year from City Hall violated the City Ethics Code. Isabella Nieto reports.
At a meeting last week, the board rejected requests to postpone the hearing again. The hearing is scheduled for this Friday, over a year since Dinney moved the drop box. Board Chair Calvin Dexter said one witness, who was subpoenaed to appear at the Friday hearing, requested to be excused from the hearing because they have plans for the holiday weekend.
I'm not very open to the idea that we should have another delay here. You know, I think it's time to get this thing dealt with.
Dexter says the witness claims they were not given sufficient notice of the hearing.
I mean, that's not to say we couldn't or shouldn't have gotten the new subpoenas out earlier, but I don't think there was any great surprise here to anyone.
Special Counsel Eric Larson confirmed that the mayor's attorney and an attorney who represents city employees scheduled depositions for City Attorney Ann Jacobson and City Clerk Caitlin Bernardi regarding the complaint. Dexter confirmed they still wanted the depositions.
The board appreciates those attorneys proceeding in good faith to accomplish the depositions at long last.
Both Jacobson and Bernardi had previously refused to sit for depositions due to an ongoing criminal investigation into the ballot box removal by the Wisconsin Department of Justice. The board also confirmed the list and order of witnesses that will appear on Friday, including Wausau Police Chief Matt Barnes and City Council President Lisa Rasmussen. The board also plans to deliberate in a closed session on October 15th at 4:30 p.m. before reconvening in an open session to discuss their next steps. I'm Isabella Nieto.
And I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Cubs beat the Crew. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers losing to the Cubs last night, 4-3 in Chicago. The Cubs scoring all of their runs in the first inning. Brewers starter Quinn Priester struggled, giving up three runs and was pulled after just 39 pitches.
Very frustrated. First inning, the only inning, command wasn't good and stuff wasn't coming out the way, you know, I'd wanted it to, and, you know, everyone else played real well with the exception of myself.
Brewers manager Pat Murphy on the 25-year-old Priester.
I think the moment got to him a little bit. I think this is, again, he's not technically a rookie, but it's his first postseason appearance and had a long layoff. It's in his hometown. Yeah, I feel for him.
So Milwaukee still leads the best of five series, 2-1. Game four is tonight at Wrigley Field. First pitch, 8:08 p.m. NBA, the Bucks host the Detroit Pistons tonight in a preseason matchup. Tip-off time, 7 o'clock. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you haven't checked your Apple TV bill recently, you might want to, as the price has gone up. Not sure if that has to do with tariffs or just general inflation, but in August, Apple TV tacked on an extra three big ones a month, changing their rates from $9.99 to $12.99 a month. Thanks, Apple. With the way things are in America right now, all us hardworking people have is TV. Maybe to protest, I will no longer use my iPhone. Yeah, that's not going to happen. If you're looking for something new on the small screen, check out an oldie but a goodie in The Honeymooners. The comedy classic premiered 70 years ago in October of 1955. The Honeymooners ran for one season and 39 episodes, if you can believe that. The show starred Jackie Gleason as Ralph Cramden, Audrey Meadows as Alice Cramden, and Joyce Randolph and Art Carney as neighbors, the Nortons. Oftentimes, there are two episodes in a half hour, and they're well worth taking a look at. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Seems like nobody in America agrees on much of anything these days.
But can we agree the federal government shouldn't tax people into poverty?
If you work full-time, you should be able to afford your basic needs. Don't you think? We're the Patriotic Millionaires.
We believe your full-time job should cover what it costs to live. We think your first $45,000 of income should be tax-free.
And multimillionaires?
We should pay more to fund your tax cut. Go to first45taxfree.com to learn more. A working-class tax cut paid for by millionaires. That's an idea we can all agree on.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Barrio. Concerned residents in the town of Stella near Rhinelander packed their town hall to demand answers from the EPA and DNR about PFAS contamination. The toxic forever chemicals have been found at high levels in drinking water and waterways across the area. The DNR says that contamination came from industrial sludge spread on farm fields by two nearby paper companies. Wisconsin's coastal communities are getting more money to help improve and protect shorelines. In celebration of Coastal Awareness Month, the Wisconsin Department of Administration is handing out $1.3 million in Wisconsin Coastal Management Program grants to 35 communities across our state. Right now on the Defender podcast, the amazing story of one Wisconsin food that was banned, burned, disappeared from our plates, and the comeback that's being helped along by solar farms. Listen at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi everyone, Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high right around 65 this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy in the evening. Could catch a shower or an isolated thunder shower late tonight. Our low 48 tomorrow, becoming partly cloudy with a high in the mid-60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 46.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, locally grown radio. Laura and James here with you. Thanks for being here with us.
Hi.
Let's dive into this one, Laura. How much do you think you spend per year on tips that you may not think are warranted or just tips in general?
I don't like the idea of thinking that tips are or are not warranted.
Agreed.
Yeah.
According to a new report, the average person has paid around $150 in tips that they don't know if they should have tipped or not.
Okay.
Those are situations where you are don't think a tip should be expected, like for maybe a dog groomer or an oil change or something like that. I think famously we've heard a lot of people say this about Subway.
Exactly.
Or something.
We talk the most about the Subway, right? Like where their machine automatically now has a tip question. A lot of places have that now.
When you feel pressured into tipping more than you want, like at a casual counter service restaurant for a ride service or a hair salon or something.
Sure.
Or when you end up tipping for bad service because it's customary. You feel bad for the employee or you don't want to look cheap. $150 across a whole year may seem low, but it's mostly the extra couple bucks here and there, as opposed to huge tips that they'd nix entirely.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, 65% of people said that they are fed up with tipping. That's up from 60% last year and 53% in 2023.
Right.
62% of people say that they'd rather pay more for food and drinks to provide higher wages for restaurant workers.
Yep.
And eliminate tipping altogether.
Yep.
62% of people.
Yep.
As for the
current... It's crazy. Like, it's crazy that we have to be paying these people's wages. Like, that's why I have such a hard time with this discussion, because you can't talk about whether or not the tip is warranted if your tip is directly the wage for the person bringing you your food, for instance. Like, you can't talk about whether or not it's warranted, because it's literally a matter of whether or not they're going to have enough money for groceries or not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. As for the current state of tipping, 45% of people say that they are tipping restaurant servers 20% or more, and 23% tip delivery drivers 20% or more.
Yeah.
This conversation, I don't think, and I you hit on it pretty strongly, I think, it's not about so much that we don't want to tip.
No,
or
it's
even
not
don't
that we don't
see the option of, or see the necessity, need for it or something.
Right. We see the unfairness in the way that it's set up, and we're angry that it's falling on us to fix it.
It doesn't make sense, especially in a world where, okay, just look at this as those of us working hourly jobs or things like that. Mm-hmm. In that regard. Retail, what we're doing, any other those kind of jobs.
Yeah.
And it's the same people tipping the same people.
Right.
You know, it's not, so there's no trickle down, effect or anything like
we're
that.
We're keeping our neighbors afloat.
We're doing it to, for each other
here. A lot of times
here,
with a tip.
Whereas the richest of our communities.
Still getting the 10%.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not. I don't. That doesn't add up for me either.
Where no,
I, you know,
it doesn't.
I'm tipping.
If they have. It's we live in two different worlds.
Mm-hmm.
It's insane.
There are people that are tipping people that can't afford to do it, but they're doing it because they know exactly what that person that life
right,
is.
Right, that's
like.
Me because I've worked so many jobs in retail, so many jobs that had tip. I was a bartender for a long time. I've been a single mom working three jobs, and those tips determined whether or not me, myself, could enjoy my day off. I tip more than I can afford to because I know what it's like to be there.
Mm-hmm.
It's so broken.
And to your point about working in retail, you are not alone, and I am tying these stories together for a reason.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you've never had a job in retail, then okay, well, you're one of the few, because a poll over a third of Americans have some point worked retail in their life.
Mm-hmm.
More than 1,000 people were asked about 30 different jobs and whether they've worked in each field or not, and here are the top 10 most common jobs on the list. But the overall thing that I wanted to say there was how many of us have worked in retail.
Yeah, what was that number again?
Third of Americans.
Only a third. So there are two-thirds of Americans, potentially two-thirds of our listeners, who have not ever worked in retail. Please listen to the people who have worked in retail about retail, please.
Yeah. There's few jobs out there that I don't know if there's any job out there that if you haven't worked it, you don't know it.
No,
period.
Like, don't assume you know what it's like because you don't, bro.
I'm not going around. Well, rocket scientist. What is that?
What, you're just flipping burgers?
I mean, yeah, none of these jobs are easy. There
no,
is no easy
not.
Jobs.
They're so stressful, too. And having to do it on wages that do not pay the bills makes it so much more grueling. Like, come on, guys, have a heart.
When we see these...
But it is helpful, you know, 62% of people want the structure to change.
I never got into that undercover boss show.
Yeah.
For one, it's you know, it's reality TV and all that. But the main thing about the show that never made sense to me is, okay, this person is supposed to be doing the jobs and knowing what it's like to be like his coworkers. No, you really want to know what it's like. You got to go home with them and look in their kitchen, look in their refrigerator and see that there's not much in
it
there and all this.
It just felt exploitative to me.
Oh, yeah. And it's all about millionaires making themselves feel important and everything.
Right, and it made them look good.
Yeah, yeah.
Because for the time that the show was airing, they were good.
Yeah. So retail workers, 35% of us have worked in retail before, at the very least, or again, a third of Americans. Stay-at-home parents, 22% of us have done that. A tougher job than most anybody will ever realize out there.
I have done both of those things.
Mm-hmm. Factory worker, 18% there. I've worked in a couple of factories myself. Teacher, 13% with that one. I've done that, but I don't really consider myself a teacher.
I haven't been a teacher, but I worked in a school.
And there you go. I think that counts. I think that's in there, at least under the umbrella of
maybe.
It. Construction worker, 11% of us have done that. That is the majority of my upbringing is working at construction.
I would say around here, that number has got to be higher than 11%.
Daycare worker, 8% have done that. Mm-hmm. Member of the military, 7% have done that. We thank you for your service.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. Chef or cook, 6% have done that one.
Yep. That's the big one for
you've
me.
You've done that at a couple places, right?
I have. I've made a good decade out of being a line cook at various places.
Engineer, 6% of us have been an engineer. And 5% of us have been a computer programmer.
Oh.
So those are that. Get a little bit more to this, but first let's take a call. Good morning. You're on the show.
Yeah, good morning. I always tip. And usually 20% or more. Sometimes I go more, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Even the kid at the Sylvia brought it at the ballpark, I tipped those guys too.
Oh, good.
Good on you.
I know it's part of their income. Yeah.
Exactly.
Income. And maybe, like you said, Laura says, it's probably all their income.
Yeah. It's a big part of it. I mean, the paycheck is probably paying the bills, but you're paying for all of the things that are not on a bill, you know, with your tip.
It's greatly appreciated, and I appreciate that not only your feedback, sir, but calling in and you doing that. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Have a good morning.
Yeah, you too.
Thank you, bud. Thank you.
Thank you for listening.
He's great. He's so great. Awesome. He's such a great guy. We have the best listeners of radio. That's, and I say that not just because of you calling it or anything, but that's the kind of heart of this community. That's the kind of, I think the overall majority of people, that's the realm that they're, that's the place where they're at.
I tell people often, Wisconsin Rapids is not what you think it is. It's different, guys.
Of the jobs they asked about, coal miner and physicist professor tied for least common.
Well, at 0%. You know, I don't know that I've met either of those other than in a physics class.
I don't think I have either. Huh. I've never thought about that.
Yeah, the only physics professor I've ever met was in my physics class.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, and it wasn't even a physics class. I was just...
I'm focused on the coal miner thing. I never thought about this. I've never met a coal miner.
We're not living in the right place for a coal miner, to be fair.
You know, I've always wanted to visit West Virginia. Mm-hmm. Here's another reason for me to do that.
Oh, you know what? I might have met a coal miner and I didn't realize it. Mm. Or maybe a former one. When I was living in D.C. and I was living on a military installation, there are a lot of military folks from West Virginia. I wonder if that just didn't come up.
Yeah. The top jobs we'd want for our kids to pursue are doctor, scientist, and engineer. Coal miner ranked last. Understandable, given the industry
there
and
there are a lot of variables there, yeah.
My mother just threw in a write-in, attorney, just over and over. Oh, and pianist. Threw that in there, too.
Just for good measure.
Did, I don't know. I know when we've talked about parenting, you and I, on air, off air, whatever it is, I think we're on a similar place here where we just want our kids to be happy.
Yeah, you know, I've never really thought about, like, every once in a while I think about, I wonder what my kid's going to do or what they're going to be when they grow up. But I don't really want them to have a specific job. I just want them to be happy.
Yeah, yeah. I like the way you put that too, because it really is, like, to me, just the wanting to be happy part. But I don't know if this is where you're going with it or not, but if they did multiple jobs, that may be a healthy thing for them. Might be a good thing. Yeah, I hadn't thought about it like that, but I look at my youngest and that's kind of where she is. Her older brother and sister have such a path and such a destination, and they got their eyes on the prize and all this stuff. And is just kind of like, she loves working with animals. She likes working with people, and she finds her niches. She finds her places, and she's very happy.
And that's the trick.
She may be the happiest out of all of us. So.
I mean, it's money is not the key to happiness.
True. Very true. Very true. We will take a quick time out, but you can find this complete article at ugov.org. And the first article I was talking about with tipping, prnewswire.com. You can go there for those, everybody, and encourage you to learn more about these topics. And certainly, as we get closer and closer to elections, looking at our local politicians and how they feel about minimum wage and 100%. Things like this.
Look at it.
It's important. It's important.
It is. It's important to everybody. That's something that beyond... you know, political boundaries we can all agree with, right?
Yes, please.
We're thinking about our neighbors, right?
Keep in mind, if you are sick and tired of tipping, think about the individuals that are
sick and tired of having to rely on your tips because they don't like it either.
We'll be back with more show coming up.
Does a 2025 federal law cut funding for some emergency broadcast alerts? Yes. A law signed by President Donald Trump on July 24th rescinds $9 billion, including $1.1 billion from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, or CPB. CPB, which funds NPR, PBS, and affiliates, announced it would shut down. Smaller rural stations rely heavily on CPB for weather and emergency alerts. Wisconsin stations got $8.5 million in 2024. The cuts led to a back and forth between Representative Derek Van Orden and Senator Tammy Baldwin on X over whether emergency broadcast alerts would be affected. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent weeks, the level of activity from Immigrations and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, has increased quite a bit. There was a raid in Manitowoc at a Walmart parking lot where dairy workers were known to congregate, a series of arrests in Madison, and in Milwaukee, ICE is looking to expand its operations significantly by seeking office space downtown to go along with a new field office on the city's northwest side. This has been concerning for many, and not without reason. A recent large-scale ICE raid in an apartment building in Chicago saw reports of armed federal agents breaking down doors, U.S. citizens detained for hours on end, and children being dragged from their homes in the middle of the night. While the American immigration system has a host of problems, this kind of violent show of force is not an acceptable way to address these problems. And ICE also just received an injection of $45 billion in the One Big Beautiful Bill, so it is imperative for all of us to hold ICE accountable and speak out when things go too far. Right now, things are going way too far.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Hey everybody, glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A pleasant fall afternoon as we'll see sunshine, a southerly breeze at highs in the mid-60s. Clouds will increase for tonight. There will be a chance of showers. Lows will drop back into the middle 40s. South winds will continue. Clouds clear out Friday. Right now, it's 51.
Welcome back, everyone.
I put a spell on you.
Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Because of mine. Oh,
it's the most haunting song of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't care how many, like, you know, Alice Cooper and all these other artists. They're great. They're fine.
Yep.
Nothing touches Screamin' Jay Hawkins.
Nope.
Nothing.
The original is awesome.
Oh, gets me. Mm-hmm. Love this time of year. And we're talking a little Halloween, because Halloween is right around the corner. And rest assured,
all month, it's right around the corner, guys.
It really is, yeah. Yeah. And rest assured that Hershey's won't be banned from selling its Halloween candies. Rejoice, fellow Americans.
Were we worried about this?
I didn't know we were. I didn't know. So last year, a woman in Florida named Cynthia Kelly sued Hershey's for $5 million.
Okay.
Claiming their pumpkin-shaped Reese's peanut butter cups were falsely advertised.
I mean, they are only roughly pumpkin-shaped, but like not $5 million worth of damages.
She said the packaging shows the pumpkins having cool carved designs and faces.
Oh, for the love of Pete.
But in reality, there are no faces, and that bothered her.
Girlfriend.
Yeah, just, yeah.
No, girl. Like, come on.
As I've mentioned many
times. We all knew what you were doing there.
I've been doing this show for 9 years, and we've had, this whole time, we've had listeners in the Florida area, and they laugh along with us on these. But you did not have to tell me this lady is from Florida.
Girl.
I knew. We knew she was from Florida. She said...
come on.
And that wasn't the only thing. She pointed out that several of the Halloween candies are also less spooky than they appear on the wrapper.
What does that even mean? What does that mean? Listen, I bought spooky pasta yesterday at the grocery store, right? These noodles are shaped roughly like pumpkins and bats, but I'm not going to sue the company for all the broken pieces that look like nothing.
Was she...
Come on.
Did she want to pull one out and be scared by it? I mean,
like, what are we doing?
What was she hoping to have happen here? Well, Cynthia will not be getting $5 million payout.
Girl.
And the candies will not be pulled from stores, from shelves, where they're deceiving Americans.
Oh, good.
A judge just dismissed the lawsuit. She ruled that the plaintiffs, quote, failed to prove any concrete economic injury, and the products were not rendered worthless. In other words, they're still delicious.
Yeah, listen, those pumpkin Reese's are where it's at.
So,
like it's just a little bit bigger. It doesn't have the paper. Like, that's peak Reese's.
Yeah,
come on, bro.
There's a picture they're showing of one of the one brought out of the package.
Right,
here
it looks
and
roughly pumpkin shaped at best.
Yeah,
but, like, Nobody thought that face was carved into it.
Now,
why? What?
So here's one thing about
okay.
this. When you're a little kid,
I'm so tired.
And yes, you just spoke for all of America. When we're kids and you see the packaging and you get excited and you want to try that, you rip it open and it doesn't look like it, you're a little disappointed.
Right, but you're...
You slowly, as you get to become a teenager and a young adult and so on, you get used to these things.
Your expectations become regulated. You become reasonable.
You just
it's
start
adulthood.
Ripping the package open.
Welcome.
Devour. Just give me the sugar. I just want
right.
the sugar.
You knew what you were getting into yes. when you bought that pumpkin-ish shaped Reese's... Oh.
I'm afraid to know how old this woman was. This Cynthia Kelly.
I don't want to know. I feel like no matter what the age is, I'm going to be more disappointed.
Yeah, yeah.
Anywhere beyond 12.
Yes, yes. Anything above the age of 12. I'm 100% with you on this. Yes, it would
like,
be very disappointing.
There's no good answer. Don't do, guys.
I would be embarrassed if like my
me
a
too.
Family member
like, this is
or somebody was like doing this like that.
Hey.
Bad.
Your stupid lawsuit made it to the morning show circuit.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
embarrassing.
The it's,
and
it's,
I work on the morning show circuit.
You look at all, of course, certainly all the dragging down the legal system and the judicial system and all these things and stuff. And that's a crime right
yeah,
there in
yeah,
itself.
Yeah.
But the idea that you would even like be... I don't know the right terminology to use here, but to be that bold to actually like even get this going, and then you're an attorney and you see this and you're going to help her with this,
you're there, you're like, that's the one.
Well, and whatever she, because I can't imagine that this attorney, this Russo, who was her attorney, that he did this pro bono. So
no, she was going to get paid no matter what.
She's out on this one.
She
ain't getting it. Like, I can't, man. So you could have just spent.
Girl.
So you could have wasted like, what, a buck or two on the candy. Instead, you've wasted thousands, I'm guessing, on an attorney to pursue this for at least 2 years. And for what? For
you knew what you were doing. We saw what you were doing, and so did the judge.
Is this a good story of the day? Actually, like the judicial system did the right
thing
here. Low key,
kind
of. Like it feels like a lot of the times these stories end up with the person actually won something.
You know what?
Or whatever.
Congratulations to whichever judge,
yeah,
courthouse.
Yeah.
You did good.
Hey, nice
good
job.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We the people agree.
Yeah, that's actually might be a good story of the day. Actually,
you know what? That gives me hope. Thank you for finding. The optimistic spin, James.
I'm trying over here. We love covering world records around here, and by that I mean I like pushing world records on our co-hosts. I think they're interesting.
No, endlessly fascinating.
Yeah. An Australian bodybuilder broke a Guinness World Record that had stood for nearly a decade when she completed 733 pull-ups in an hour.
That is impressive. Although, to be fair, I don't know that I've been able to do a pull-up since my sophomore year, so...
Any local Wisconsin Rapids listeners out there, if you went to Washington Elementary like I did for part of fifth and for sixth grade, you may have seen on their records over there that for a very long time I held the pull-up record. Was I able to accomplish this simply because I weighed 5 pounds? That's not important.
Listen. Part of those 5 pounds were in his arm strength.
Thank
Come
you.
On.
Thank you.
Come on.
Great teammate again. Jade Henderson.
I do what I can.
Jade, again, you're working hard over there too. Jade Henderson, 32, averaged more than 12 pull-ups a minute to break the record. I think my record was 12 pull-ups. I don't know.
Oof.
12 pull-ups a minute and of 725 that was set by fellow Australian Eve Clark back in 2016. So mm-hmm. she broke a fellow Australian's record.
Oh, cool.
The quote, I decided to start training for the pull-up world record because I liked the idea of doing something that nobody else has ever done. I also wanted to see what my mind and body were physically capable of.
Okay.
The athlete said she initially planned to go for 24-hour version of the record, but an injury during training led her to change her plans.
Okay.
Henderson settled on the 1 hour record to prevent any further injuries. But also, quote, I didn't have a set number that I was aiming for, she said. I knew it was going to be tough to beat the previous record of 725, so I just aimed to get a couple more reps than that.
All right.
I wonder if the record holders being in Australia, and I'm not trying to say that every Australian knows each mm-hmm. other or something, but I wonder if they talked at all or if there was a little bit of a rivalry to this or anything like that. I'd like to have some follow-ups.
Yeah, for sure.
The record attempt was ultimately successful with 733 pull-ups completed in an hour. Quote, I was really happy with the result. I gave it everything I had, and in that moment, I don't think that I could have done any better.
Very cool. Congratulations on that. Yeah.
The only other thing I like when they do is tie in like a nonprofit to these record breakings and stuff. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, these are all, and I don't necessarily count the record hunters. You know, mm-hmm. we got a couple of people that show up on here that got like 20 world records.
Right. And that's just all trying to break them all.
Yeah. I'm not really counting those people. I love these stories like this because regardless of what you think of the record or anything like that, there's a relatability here. Mm-hmm. These are everyday people that are able to accomplish yeah. things.
This is just a person who's really good at a thing, and they thought, hey, can I break a world record doing this thing I'm really good at? And then they did it.
I think when we look for inspiration, you don't have to look that far. And stories like this, while they're interesting and cool, and I think they're fun topics, mm-hmm. they're also, I think, very inspirational. And yeah, hey, I'd like to be able to get better at doing pull-ups. And you don't have to break a world record. You can just go out there and do it.
Yep.
There are so much, I think, to that. Great first hour, Laura. We'll
yeah,
be back with
you
our too. Second hour. We'll have Denise with our Pet of the Week coming up for you right here
Yay.
At...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Celebrations in Israel and Gaza. After news, Israel and Hamas had agreed to the first phase of President Trump's peace plan. CBS's Haley Ott from Tel Aviv.
Netanyahu is going to meet with his cabinet and government later today. After that government meeting is when a 24-hour clock will begin for Israel to retreat to an agreed line that is still within Gaza. Then a 72-hour period will begin for Hamas, during which it will be required to release all of the hostages.
Israel believes 20 of the remaining 48 are still alive. Among the dead, Udi Gorin's cousin.
First and foremost is to have this moment of acceptance, to have an actual grave, to know where his body lies.
If all goes as planned, CBS News has learned President Trump will visit Israel and Egypt this weekend. This Palestinian man welcomes the deal.
This is something joyful for us, and we thank everyone who contributed to stop the war and bloodshed.
CBS News Special Report.